It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Get fired up.
Oh, yeah.
Performance-enhancing audio.
This is the State of Combat Podcast with Brian Campbell.
Oh, yeah, you hear that sound. Yes, the sweet song in your ear hole. It is the State of Combat. And I don't want to tell jokes. I don't want to say anything except what needs to be said, okay? Judge Wapner, you are next, my friend.
You can't handle the truth.
It's no sense. It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Son, my friend, I've been sitting here for 10 minutes now looking over this rap sheet
of yours. Here's the deal. I got Rafe Bugs. It's BC right here. Let me look you up. Canelo Alvarez, Dateline Tuesday, has sent his suitors to hell. It is a lawsuit claiming $285 million of unpaid wages, 10 counts of everything from lying to fiduciary douching. It is Canelo Alvarez versus the world, as he has filed a lawsuit in California federal court against DAZN, against Golden Boy Promotions, against Oscar De La Hoya, against who? Let me bring in my man right here, the New York Times best-selling author. You can read his stuff on BetYourAss.com. Rafe Bartholomew, are you ready to talk Canelo?
I was born ready.
Only he's not going to be ready to fight anytime soon because he's going to be fighting in the courtroom. Rafe, give me your 2 cents, brother. It's on like Donkey Kong, as your former colleague Mike Coppinger of The Athletic reported, Canelo is now ready for the fight of his life.
Brian, let's take a minute to talk about Canelo Alvarez's tort game. That was a brief conversation.
Oh, wow. Okay. Rafe, you do have a vast history in law, right? Can you?
I did take law and ethics of journalism. By the way, nice Sergei Kovalev shirt, you racist bastard.
Well, I thought about this. You're referencing Morning Combat, which, by the way, we are on the end days of the SOC. Doesn't mean you and I are going away, but there will be a merging coming up, of course, Morning Combat, a couple weeks.
Look. I get you and Luke like to touch tips, but we ain't serving tri-tip at this buffet, Brian.
We had an orgy for 2 days.
Yeah, never touched so many men's tips in my life. So here's the deal. On Tuesday's Morning Combat, because of the holiday, I did wear a Sergei Kovalev t-shirt, and I did ask myself the same question. It's an ethics question. I mean, ethics and boxing don't morally mix.
I'm Brian Campbell. Do I like to promote racist imagery on Twitter and beat women and throw money at women on airplanes?
Well, he belongs on my crime channel here on YouTube.
But when I looked closer at the entire Sergei
Kovalev.
And, you know, right?
I've looked at a lot of guys.
When I looked at the entire man, I also looked around the walls of my office at my other so-called heroes around me. And do you know who's hero to my right? Floyd Mayweather. You know who's the hero to my left? Conor McGregor. You know, they get handsy too. So I've decided, Rafe, not that we can all get that way, but that, you know, it's okay to love the art, but not the artist, right? Isn't that what you used to say about being a big RuPaul fan of his music?
Look, RuPaul being canceled for making a deal with fracking is, I think, a minor offense. But you know what, man? I can't help myself. I still love me some Step in the Name of Love remix. I still love Down Low remix. I love Kells, man. I grew up with him. I can't quit him.
Okay, I can't quit you. Thank you very much.
Brian.
But just the
let's
same.
Let's get back. Canelo. We got to talk Canelo. I'm sorry
fans.
I did this.
Hi, my boxing fans. Just the same. Yes, look, here's the big story, and it is big. It's massively big. When we're talking about the biggest star in the sport, not fighting potentially in 2020, and now taking that further where he's ready to blow up everything. And you know what? Quick analysis right off the top. Go for it. Do that thing, because here's the deal, Rafe. Canelo has been insanely loyal to Golden Boy Promotions through the Richard Schaefer, Al Haymon thing, through, you know, multiple public moments of Oscar being a freak, through everything. But the stuff he's accusing them now at this point is pretty serious stuff. He's basically saying important things were not disclosed to him, like reportedly DAZN saying Canelo owes us 2 dates per year and one quote-unquote premier opponent. Now, look, that's a box of scarves to begin with that you can choke yourself with, because now reportedly DAZN is saying both Sergey Kovalev and Danny Jacobs weren't quote-unquote premier opponents. So they can, you know, they can pound some sand for that one, okay?
Let's pause right here for the cause, Brian, and dig into this premier boxing opponents, PBOs, as I like to call them.
Yeah, you're serious?
In the Bartholomew household.
I mean, they're saying Callum Smith not premier. They're saying Billy Joe Saunders not premier.
I don't care who's not premier. I care who is premier, because that is hilarious. Our guy, Dan the Man, free from the chains, the shackles of the worldwide leader, killing it right now with the reporting, has an amazing Twitter thread today about what DAZN considered premier opponents going into 2020, this round of fights. They had Gennady Golovkin, so they still want that trilogy fight, and then a couple of skinheads, Brian. Wait, it was Khabib. You didn't let me. I have this open in my tabs, brother. I will read it to you out loud.
Okay.
DAZN approved Callum Smith and BJS, or maybe just BJs for Canelo, but not as premium guys. I want guys and wanted to dramatically cut license fee. I'm told DAZN would consider, parentheses, not joking, De La Hoya, Jorge Masvidal, and Khabib premium foes, even though Oscar is 47, not since 08, and I think he meant not fought since 08.
And even though
and other guys aren't boxers.
And Khabib, by the way, you know, one of the greatest mixed martial artists of all time, puts on his panties and lays, you know, ground and pounds you. Is not even a boxer in the MMA sense. It's laughable. And by the way, this might be the time, seriously, for Canelo to go in there and say, all right, Oscar, all right, DAZN, you want to do this? I'll fight Oscar. I'm going to send him and your entire streaming app to hell. Okay, that's what. But no, look, it's not. That's going to happen in the courtroom, and it's justified here because Canelo learned a lot from Floyd. He probably should have learned a little bit sooner to do what you said last episode. Go the Miguel Cotto route. Go a la carte every fight, biggest suitor available. You can still do the Canelo legacy, which, look, let's be honest, let's give Big Red what he deserves. Yeah, tainted meat did enter the lexicon. Yes, there's two other bad sins in his life. Three, to be honest. One, he waited out Triple G 2 years.
Come on. You're gonna do my man Solis like this?
Two, he sent Archie Solis to hell on a sidewalk over some girl.
He beat a 112-pound man outside of a bar.
You know what I'm saying?
And then he took his girl.
I be Solis?
Make a long story short, you know, they broke up. Probably wouldn't hit it off hard enough. And now she's with a heavy hitter.
Heavy hitter was Canelo. And then the other sin was the really weird tattoo collection he's got on the inside of his left forearm, including his wife's eyeballs. But that's another topic for another story. He's been great for us as boxing fans, as sort of the you know, the guy on top of the mountain, the guy carrying the flag of the sport. He fights the best, seemingly all the, like 90% of the time. Okay. He can do that even more in a potential a la carte style and make a lot of money. So this is, look, it's past due for him to stand up and say, you know what? I'm sorry, Golden Boy, you're a clown show. Oscar, you're this is a clown show, okay? And I'm not doing this clown show thing anymore. I know that the crux of the real thing of why this is happening is this. There's a couple of reasons, right? I mean, the zone's struggling. They just laid off some people. I mean, they're just struggling. The, you know, Live Gate My Ass, all that, they're struggling. But yeah, there's some legitimate, it seems, bait and switchery here about the things that Golden Boy is not telling Canelo about their relationship with DAZN. And you know what? I do kind of respect Canelo to be like, I never signed a contract saying I have to fight Gennady. All right. Yeah, it makes sense to the survival of DAZN, but I didn't sign that deal. That's on Oscar. OK, that's on DAZN. And I know,
well, Brian, let's pause again for the cause here. I think I'm all for Canelo making his money and getting the 35 mil per fight that he's guaranteed under this deal. DAZN trying to back out of that. They can't do that. It's like part of Dan the Man's good thread from this morning compared it to a bad long-term baseball contract. You know, when the Albert Pujols or A-Rod, they start that. The last 5 years of those 20-year baseball contracts can get pretty ugly. And you know what? And that could be the case with this, where not because Canelo isn't performing, but because things have changed in the world and in the business world, and all of a sudden DAZN is holding a bag that they don't want to pay anymore. But it doesn't matter. You signed it. You got it. You got to live up to your obligations.
Yeah.
So
when it
Canelo
comes to
is
that
in the
bag.
Right there. But
you have a little bit of fun with the bag. You play with it.
Canelo is in the right there. And I agree. He is a great character for boxing because he is a great fighter on the merits, as well as a person you can love and hate, depending on which aisle you stand. He's a great villain. He also is a huge pain in the ass.
Oh,
all right,
get out of here. You hate gingers from day one. Canelo's done more great.
Don't bring in any kind of don't make this a ginger on ginger crime thing. Okay,
Canelo has done more great for our stupid sport than he's ever done bad. I already laid out the four deadly sins of Canelo's career. They are greatly outnumbered by what he's given us. All right,
Look, there was no contract on
blank.
Okay,
yeah.
You know, hey, you're really gonna act this way. Really,
I am
going to
act this way. I am going to be a blank. You're out here lathering Canelo's balls, and I don't want to hear quite that much, Brian. We can be a little more measured, even if Canelo is in the right here and contractually in terms of the money he deserves.
I do like ginger.
Sorry, whether it's you, Corn, Canelo. All right, I do. Okay?
I'm not even going there right now. Brian, we can lay this out objectively. All right, rather than buttering up this gingerbread man here, it's just Canelo is. What is wrong with us, man? What the F is wrong with us? I as far as I know, there was no the DAZN contract with Golden Boy didn't stipulate either that Canelo had to fight Triple G. I guess there was this vague, essentially meaningless language about premium opponents that both sides can go back and forth over forever without reaching any like meaningful middle ground. Now, if Oscar was in there when they cut the deal that long night, that good old John Skipper, shout to the Skipper. You're killing it, man. You're killing it.
They didn't just cut a deal that night, okay? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, God, good God.
This is what I got for Oscar. I got fish, scaly.
That great night with the Skipper when they made this deal, if Oscar at that time in 2018 said, yeah, why? Of course we can make the third Triple G fight. Why not? I don't see any reason why not. Well, one, everyone in boxing thought that was the case because there was no legitimate reason not to make that fight immediately after the second. And two, it doesn't matter if it wasn't, it would be illegal to put that into the contract because it would breach the Ali Act
Ali Act into your PBC hole.
A network cannot say who a fighter fights. The fighter gets
networks
that ultimate decision.
Are the promoters these days, and you know this, Rafe. All right?
Brian.
All right.
And so if DAZN bid on that. And look, I again, everyone thought that it shouldn't be that hard to make this fight a third time. They're in the same weight class. The scales are, or the momentum is shifting drastically towards Tainted Meat Canelo. He won very closely the second fight, and Triple G looked old and kept looking older. The fight seemed to be on the path. It was Canelo's decision, which is his right to make the decision, but a weird decision that he no longer wanted to do. He wanted to twist the knife a little bit.
Because Triple G said he saw the tracks, bro. We've been down this road, okay? We've been doing...
Oh, beat his ass in the ring again.
Doping, shaming from the beginning.
He was doping. He was caught doping.
Yes, yes. Okay, yeah. Well, that's one of the four deadly sins. But how about the 50 great things that this man has done? So we've already covered that. DAZN effed up by trying to cut a discount here with a guaranteed deal. But yeah, I would go as far as accusing Oscar, whether it was, you know, 3 a.m. and he must be lonely with John Skipper or not, of probably guaranteeing that. Now, Golden Boy did give a statement to your boy.
If it's not in writing, it's not a guarantee, dog.
I mean, look, I could take a dump in a box and mark it guaranteed, right?
That's right, right. Tommy boy logic rules the day here. That's what I'm saying.
There's just so much hypocrisy in boxing.
I just find that all incredibly hypocritical.
Anyway, cop got a quote from his ex-landlord.
What would you describe quoting your ex-landlord in your story about a lawsuit?
Well, by the way,
it's not hypocritical, but it's
something.
Stephen
Friedman got let go from Golden Boy as like Oscar's personal PR guy. I don't know. Anyway, they say, so look, Friedman says on behalf of Golden Boy, they never guaranteed a thing. DAZN hasn't commented on it. So we're only, obviously, again, let's be fair, we're only hearing one side of the story. But I'm going to go to bat for Big Red here and say ultimately, Rafe, that he's got to leave all these clown shows. I'm sorry, right now, DAZN's a freaking clown show. Tell me it's not. Try and remotely tell
me
it's not.
I'm not trying. Who is going to – look, DAZN – look, I want someone – you know what lawsuit I want to see? Let's start a class action lawsuit to get our $100 back from these jerk-offs because it's
DAZN
effed up what they're doing.
Was going to hit us between the eyes with some great fights. Who's Canelo going to fight, Tom, Dick, or Harry?
Sorry, dude. Harry's not premier.
Connor or Oscar?
Harry's not deemed premier.
What's the most outrageous, like, just not a boxer celebrity that would make sense for DAZN as a premier boxing opponent? We going back to the Logan Paul?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan come out of retirement.
Terry Crews. Who? I don't know. Michael Jordan. Yeah, no, sorry. How about Mike Tyson against Canelo? I guess that's I guess that's what DAZN deems is.
That is the dream fight for DAZN. Thank you. You're really, really helping boxing out with that.
Well, you know, starting soon, if you haven't already.
I don't got that DAZN shit.
I mean, that's the direction we're going here. So let's talk about the bombs that have a potential here to go off. Okay. Number one, again, no matter how this goes, Canelo ain't fighting anytime soon. That's bad for boxing. But you know what's bad for Golden Boy? The fact that Canelo represents, if you've seen reports put out there by some of the business journalists, between
the last time that Golden Boy was in a lawsuit when they tried to sue Al Haymon and got their asses handed to them.
It found out that Canelo makes up, depending on the year, between 90 and 107%, I don't know how that's possible, of Golden Boy's annual revenue, which says, yeah, they might have that good-looking guy Lemieux, and they may have a couple prospects in Virgil Ortiz and what's left of Ryan Garcia's trust for them, but they're out of business without Canelo. True or false?
Very true.
Okay, then let's talk about DAZN. Without Canelo? I mean, they might be out of business anyway. I mean, there were layoffs this week. It wasn't much. There wasn't, you know, it was a few, but, I mean, This is a monster headline just for the impact that it has on two of the biggest, you know, power brokers in the sport at the moment, DAZN and Golden Boy. They happen to be unified, but, I mean, you know, the walls are crying. You think Eddie Hearn swoops in and fixes this whole thing and says, you know, I'll give some of my $1 billion to Canelio and he can, you know.
If there's an opportunity there for Eddie to swoop in and get some, you know, get – somehow make a killing off of it, sure. Yeah, if there's a way for sharks circling to profit off of this, yeah, they will. But otherwise, I'm thinking they're just like Homer Simpsoning their way into that bush.
Yes.
You know, Eddie being like, you know what? I'm going to stay on my side of the pond, put on these very good fights between European fighters, and just stay the F out of whatever business is going on over there. No, thank you. Canelo, yeah, it's really bad. It's not just bad for Canelo and Golden Boy. It's bad for all of the Golden Boy fighters, and they have a really good young stable. They have fighters who, young, I mean, and insert Rafe's obligatory Blair Cobbs joke, but fighters who actually matter too, like Virgil Ortiz and some of the younger guys. I mean, it's like there's some legit guys. They have guys. They have beautiful guys, yeah. And their careers are going to be delayed as well. The manager, you know,
the manager,
Tim Newhouse was talking about this morning. And it's just it bums me out, man. That because if DAZN and Golden Boy are tied up, DAZN doesn't want to make even the lesser cards for that don't have anything to do with Canelo. Then all these fighters' careers are just on hold.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad. We want people that want to fight Canelo.
Three special words: bring me Canelo.
I think that's what Eddie's saying right now. But I don't, you know, we're past the point of reconciliation, right? There's no plea bargain deal. There's no compromise here. This is
Of course there is. I mean, Brian, there the points of reconciliation, perhaps with DAZN, because like I said last week, I think that DAZN probably wants out of boxing in the U.S. market, perhaps out of boxing altogether. And so if they can, you know, pay some of that money down and make all of this go away, then maybe they will, maybe they're into that and they can go try and, you know, sell whatever Bundesliga rights in Japan. They probably already do that and make a decent living and make decent money doing it.
All right. Put on your lawyer cap. Put on your lawyer cap. I want to read you copy.
Whoa, give me a second. Give me a second here. But if Canelo and Golden Boy ain't going to let Canelo go, they're not going to be like, let's settle. We'll cut you a check. Go have a nice life. No, he is the business. They have to fight this. They can't let him out. And, you know, Dan Goosen beat Andre Ward in court. The promoters sometimes win these things. And then the fighter just has to go back and fight for the promoter until the contract is up.
Yeah, you're right there. I don't know. I got to ask you this, though. Have you read the 24-page lawsuit? Have you read it?
I am 11 pages into it, and I've seen clips from other fun stuff online. I wish I wanted to get all the way through before we recorded this morning, but, you know, I had some your-ass betting to tend to, I did have a good DM conversation with listener Homer, who, despite being a believer in equilibrium shots, yes, is a lawyer and gave me some really, thank you, Homer. You made me the man I am today.
Let me ask you this then, okay? Here's some copy from Canelo's lawsuit. Despite Alvarez's successes, both DAZN and Golden Boy have broken the promises they made to each other, to Alvarez, and to boxing fans. In doing so, defendants have breached their respective contracts and caused Alvarez damages of at least $280 million, which represents what's left of his deal, plus lost sponsorship money and whatever. So let me ask you this.
I don't know if I believe that damages claim, because if DAZN decides to get back on the train and start paying out 35 mil a pop, then we can get back to 280 real quick. Like, and also that whenever they say guaranteed for boxing, you know that's not true. If Canelo starts losing midway through that deal, they ain't paying him 35 mil. Like
I don't know if you know that, because they don't forget.
I don't.
They
were, nobody knows that.
Well, don't forget they were crazy freaking desperate to kill, quote unquote, kill pay per view by grabbing the biggest pay per view star in you know, on the globe or whatever. But about that quote right there, okay? And besides the damages, Alvarez alleges he is also seeking.
Can he allege damages for fights that he hasn't scheduled that could happen 4 years from now?
Listen, Judge Judy, I'm going to get to a question for you. It says,
I'm the boss, applesauce.
It says, besides the damages, Alvarez alleges he is also seeking punitive damages, attorney's fees, costs of the suit and, quote, a judicial determination that he is eligible to participate in bouts arranged and promoted by entities other than Golden Boy and broadcast by entities other than DAZN. So let me ask you this based on the language of what we just read. 11 pages of the 28 of the 24 are in. You've talked to Homer. You're friends with Kurt Esquire. You know a few things. You're a quasi Ivy League guy over there at the Medill School of Northwestern. I don't whatever. All right, I'm a college
Call
dropout.
Me a Medill though,
I don't care
right?
about
That's
your people. Okay, I don't care about your. You know, you think I care about your educated people? No.
Have you ever strapped it on and gone toe to toe with a Medildo?
No. And thank you for not being a frat. You're not a frat guy, right? You weren't in
there. Hell no.
Thank you. So at least somebody got the score right. Did from what you know, read, heard, and believe. Did DAZN and or Golden Boy break the promises they made to Alvarez, each other, and the boxing fans?
Well, look, the boxing fans don't matter in this. They are not part. This is not a class action suit. Boxing fans are not suing like they sued Manny Pacquiao.
I'm telling you what Canelo wrote.
Pretending he hurt his shoulder once upon a time.
I'm telling you what Canelo's lawyers wrote. They said it.
I know. Look, there's some weird language in here. There's a lot of. The funny thing is that, like, even Canelo's lawyers apparently include not just his paid journalists, but also his paid lawyers feel the need to butter him up in the crap they write about him, because it's like Canelo, who was named the 2019 Boxer of the Year by the BWAA and Ring Magazine, who was given the mythical title of the pound for pound best boxer in the world by a bunch of journalists who wanted access to him. Listing all his accomplishments. Like, what does this matter? Like, what does the contract say? And did they break it? That is what should be in here. And they kind of tiptoe around the true details of that, probably because it would come out in discovery and they want to hold that as a bargaining chip to maybe settle, because discovery is usually very embarrassing for boxing companies, and then they want to avoid that. It was embarrassing for Oscar the last time it happened against PBC or against Al Heyman. And so anyway, I do think that DAZN pretty clearly, they've even stated it. It's been widely reported by Kopp and by Dan the Man, IDEC, all the main guys, all the beautiful guys have reported that that DAZN did want, you know, tried to pay Canelo less than his guaranteed $35 million per fight. And so that is an obvious attempt to breach the contract.
Now
the
does
one
their
thing,
premier thing hold up against that? Because that's what they say, that their premier
that's
thing.
Nuts. That's nuts. No.
Mr. Nuts?
And their examples to prove, if the reported examples that Dan the Man is putting out, that other championship-level world-class fighters, legit tests, including Danny Jacobs and Sergei Kovalev, and Callum Smith and Billy Joe Saunders. The only real boxer who they're counting as a premium opponent is Triple G. That makes no effing sense, Brian. Also, just put some logic to that long term. If there's only one fighter in the world who is a premium opponent and he's 38 years old and has already fought Canelo twice, then where are the next 8 fights going to come from on the deal? Who is he supposed to fight? There's no other premium boxers alive competing in the sport of boxing. It's nonsense. I don't know if legally a court would consider kind of how stupid that claim is, but any boxing fan could tell you immediately that is some world-class dumbness. That is like, I mean, you deserve to be punched in the face for saying some dumb crap like that.
We are all dumber for having heard you say that.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Indeed, Brian, indeed. And so I don't think that the premium opponent issue, because it's not specific. If it's not specific, how much can it really help? If it's all open to interpretation, then the only specific thing is that Canelo gets $35 million per fight. And if they already paid Canelo $35 million to fight non premium opponents that who they've called Danny Jacobs and you know and Kovalev, then why wouldn't they continue doing that when he fights other opponents who are equally you know deserving on that level? Okay, I consider so Callum Smith is the Ring Magazine champion at 168.
In your dime store understanding of this, and I'll go item by item, but Canelo versus DAZN, you say DAZN's guilty.
Yes.
Okay. Here's what's interesting, though. Stephen Friedman, Golden Boy's representative, came back with that quote that he sent to a few different people. And the key part of that quote, the crux of it.
Gotta send it to all your former tenants, bro.
Yeah. The crux of that, the key part, was that Canelo, he says, Canelo's beef isn't with Golden Boy, it's with DAZN. So they're trying to pass the buck here and basically say that, like, what you said, this is all about money. At the end of the day, they guaranteed money. They're not paying it. But from what I've gathered, skimming that 24-page document, at least half of this is still Canelo versus Oscar and Canelo versus Golden Boy from what he believes is them, you know, not being fiduciarily responsible for his well-being, them negotiating to put on fights instead of his with DAZN, them for not communicating the full language and understanding of their own deal with DAZN, a lot of him versus them. How does that hold up from your understanding of guilty or not guilty Golden Boy in this lawsuit?
So this is my layman's reading on this sort of the overall strategy involved is that Canelo has a real case against DAZN, and we've known since before last year, you know, when Cop broke the big story about Canelo versus Oscar and how frustrated Canelo has been. They're not on speaking terms. You know, Canelo, I think they're trying to work in an angle that can also get Canelo out of his relationship with Golden Boy by linking it to this DAZN issue. And I don't know if that holds up. It seems less strong of a case to me. But again, a completely lay opinion. So that, to me, it seems like they're trying to sneak it in the back door. Oh, you know what I mean?
Okay. Good Lord.
Yeah. Look, the law firm of Kelly Maloney and Yousaf Mack.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Anyway, right. Yeah.
Hold on.
I'm trying to get you out of this business, brother.
I'm going to have to apologize ahead of time because I'm going to stretch his ass like it's never been stretched before.
Oh my God.
What is that? Brian. Wow.
Here's why I don't, the Golden Boy part of it doesn't hold up quite as much to me. As far as I know, I didn't see any specific instance of Golden Boy trying to get Canelo to accept DAZN's offer of half of his normal rate. Golden Boy wants the full price, and they seem to be on Canelo's side in this particular dispute. Now, Canelo has a laundry list of other legitimate complaints about his relationship with Golden Boy. When you talk to people in the boxing industry, they will tell you off the record or tell you on background sometimes that, you know, Golden Boy is one of the more disorganized or more difficult to work with promotional companies in the business, and they really get a lot of leeway because of Canelo, because you can't stop working with them, because if you do, then you don't get to work with Canelo. And so it's totally understandable why Canelo is frustrated, why he wishes that one isn't the case, why he thinks he can do better away from Golden Boy. I don't know if that means if what's in this particular lawsuit is enough to prove that Golden Boy breached its relationship with Canelo, and that Canelo can now is free to go.
Let me specify that a little bit. Where Friedman is saying this is a DAZN issue, not a Golden Boy one, here's his statement that he gave to Boxing Scene. DAZN is the ones refusing to honor the contract by not approving the outstanding opponents we have presented to them and by refusing to pay the contractually required amount. Even though our contract specifically gives Golden Boy the right to wait until the pandemic is over and fans can return, in the best interests of boxing, Golden Boy is doing everything it can to make Great Fight happen. We remain ready, willing, and able to make a fight for Canelo. So that's fine, but the lawsuit disagrees with that. Exclusively, you know, extremely, it says the Alvarez contract did not require Alvarez to select Golovkin as an opponent in 2019 or any time thereafter. In fact, the Alvarez contract required that a bout with Golovkin would require additional guaranteed payment in excess of $25 million to be separately negotiated, and that Alvarez was not told that Golden Boy had already entered into an agreement with DAZN that gave DAZN a role in approving future opponents. Neither did Golden Boy disclose that they had represented to DAZN that Alvarez would have a bout with Golovkin in 2019. So all that lawyer speak is basically saying Golden Boy can say, hey, it's not on us, it's on DAZN. But Canelo specifically saying, no, Golden Boy, you're wrong. You did promise something to them that you're not telling me. The thing is, can Canelo prove that, Rafe?
No one can prove a verbal agreement, right? Unless they were, unless it was recorded. And also, these deals happened, I believe, in California, which is a two-side, you know, two-party consent state for recording. So people had to be informed. You can't just walk in with a recorder and start. And start recording people without their knowledge. In any case, I don't believe there's going to be much evidence of that unless it's in the contracts. If this goes to discovery, we'll see the contracts and we'll actually be able to tell, did Golden Boy, you know, did they stretch their neck out there a little too far and screw this up? I kind of feel like they didn't. I feel like Golden Boy did what boxing people do to business people, which is play them, screw them, bamboozle them, hoodwink them. You know, you get a guy with, you find the whoever shows up and thinks they're going to spend money and make a big splash in boxing, take their money, give them less than they asked for, and kick them on their way out the door. I think that's what happened here. And what's interesting is, if anyone, shouldn't DAZN be the party alleging damages against Golden Boy in that case? If Golden Boy made a hard promise to them for something that they couldn't deliver in a third Triple G Canelo fight, rather than Canelo saying, I want out of my contract because my promoter made a promise to my network that I was going to take a fight that I haven't had to take and have still been paid everything I've been owed up until this point. And the reason that he's not getting paid right now is not because he's not fighting Triple G. It's because they're trying to weasel out of their contract. DAZN is trying to weasel out of the contract at $35 million to fight Callum Smith or to fight Billy Joe Saunders, which, you know what? DAZN, what are y'all thinking? That would be worth it right now. There hasn't been a good boxing event.
Yeah,
there won't be a good boxing event until Lopez fights Lomachenko in a month. What the hell? And as great as that fight is, a fight that I would look forward to, I am looking forward to more than I would look forward to almost any possible Canelo fight other than Beterbiev, Canelo versus any good opponent is the biggest event of the year right now and probably will stay that way unless there's a huge heavyweight fight, which also might not happen.
It's just interesting to me that
hey, the man,
that Golden Boy and Canelo, you know, could end up in a lengthy court battle here, when it's generally assumed that Golden Boy kind of stole Canelo from Tuto Zabala's All-Star Boxing. Remember that? In 2009, All-Star filed a lawsuit in 2011. And then in 2016, judges ordered Golden Boy to pay $8.5 million to Canelo's former promoter for basically stealing him from him. And, I mean, that's the dirty boxing game where morals and ethics don't mix. I just wonder if we're heading down that road. How strong is Oscar's lawyer up game? Because, Rafe, I just feel like you just broke down whether Canelo has a legal case against them. But either way, I don't know. Well, let me add it. No, this is a fair question. I was going to say either way, it just doesn't feel like Golden Boy has done Canelo right. But I don't know if that's fair to say. They did lead him into a DAZN deal in which he's guaranteed $35 million to, in theory, fight anybody.
Yes.
So maybe
so far,
they didn't.
He's doing great under it.
Maybe they're embarrassing at times because Oscar's the head. But as much as I want to sit here and defend Canelo against DAZN, yes. Canelo versus Golden Boy is a little bit more of a gray area. I think Canelo's a big enough star where he should have a Floyd level of control over his situation. But maybe you're right. Maybe this is a battle Canelo can't win in the court system and may get Dan Goosened in the long run. So maybe they just need to get the heck away from DAZN and figure out what other chumps are willing to pay $35 million to have him fight there. Is there anybody? No, because DAZN had to break their own financial future to try to disrupt the market. It is what it is.
But look, I mean, Canelo can get $20 million guaranteed. You know what? No, that's not true. Okay. Both, and again, these are numbers that existed pre-COVID, and we don't know what's going to happen to the pay-per-view market after, right? It hasn't been tested yet. When it gets tested, it's going to be tested first by the Charlo brothers, then by Tank and Leo, then by, what's the other pay? Oh, Spence, even that is not really, Spence Garcia is not really close to a Canelo fight. So there's not going to be a Canelo-level gauge of what the new pay-per-view market is until whenever Canelo gets to fight on pay-per-view again, which could be, I mean, if things get resolved quickly with the lawsuit, it could be next year. If it gets, if not, it could be years from now. Who the hell knows? But in any case, Canelo could get a very big, probably get $30 million guaranteed for a pay-per-view fight now, even with upside, which may or may not come through. So he's not that far off from getting that kind of money under other circumstances.
All right, we got to take a quick pause for the cause here, Rafe, because we've been going hot, hard, and heavy on Big Red right there.
This is big news, man. We got to go hard and heavy.
I wanted to quickly pause you real quick, though, and ask you whether you are excited about the NFL season.
Oh, always, always, brother.
Okay, well, I got something for you to stick deep in your cochlea, if that's the case. You ever heard of a little piece of business called CBS Sports' Pick 6 NFL podcast? Yes, yes. The answer is yes. Thank you. Well,
I was muted. Of course, yeah, hell yeah. I listen to that biatch all the time.
Thank you very much. Here's the deal. Will Brinson and the crew, you already know they've been giving you a podcast every single weekday of the offseason, but now with football finally here, COVID be damned, Pick 6 is ramping up the frequency with a minimum of 8 weekly episodes. 8, Rafe. You want to get your fix 8 times a week?
Look, I like to get my fix 7 times a day, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, all right. Here's the deal. 8 days a week, Pick 6 will be there for gambling, fantasy picks leading up to games, and also there for recaps as soon as the NFL games end. For the most comprehensive NFL audio experience, I need you to download and subscribe to Pick 6 on Apple Pods, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever else podcasts are found. Look, Rafe and I have a lot more to say about Big Red. Did Jamel Herring quit? Good God. Wow, we're going there. And maybe a little bit more than that on the other side. In 2 and 2. Dig it.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
And we're back. BC, Bugs, Canelo in hell, DAZN in court. What the hell's going on here?
Yes, they deserve to die. I hope they burn in hell.
All right. Okay, wow. Wow, that's unsettling. Rafe, let me ask you a question.
There's a list of people, Brian. I'm not going to say who's on a list. It's not you. I'll tell you it's not you.
Oh, God.
There's a list of people that if they died unfortunate, tragic, young deaths.
No.
I'm planning on tweeting that gif.
Okay.
Samuel Jackson.
Why are you so angry? Why? Have you been done wrong, Rafe?
Probably not, but that doesn't mean I can't be angry.
Okay. Because, you know, I think there's someone you can talk to if you're that angry. All right?
Bitch! Ooh. You know what I want? I want to talk to Sam.
Lukowicz. Yes. Because it's hard being black and gifted. All right, Rafe, I got to ask you this. Because let's say Canelo was able to, with Golden Boy or not, to get out of the days in business through this. What are the most attractive potential pay-per-view opponents for Canelo outside of the DAZN universe?
Say this one more time. What are the potential for
what
something
are the
outside of the DAZN universe?
What are the most attractive potential pay-per-view opponents for Canelo outside of, like, you know, if this leads to I don't know, for all we know, DAZN may not be around in boxing anymore. If this leads to what we think it's going to lead to, and whether Golden Boy stays with him or not, let's get excited. Who are the fights you most want to make for 30-year-old Canelo?
The universe, the gates open wide,
yes.
And now we can actually see Canelo fight anybody.
If he goes Cotto in terms of his free agency and can just pick and choose, I mean, is Errol Spence at 160? Is that high?
That was the first one that came to mind as something that could potentially be enormous. And obviously, I think there's been talk of that. I think we've talked about it here on this podcast. I feel like I've read Spence may at some point, because he is so big, want to go up and do that. Look, that would be great. And a lot rides on, of course, Errol Spence hasn't fought since being in the car crash last year. He fights in November. If he looks like Errol Spence of old, like nothing has changed, that fight couldn't come soon enough. I would love to see that fight in a couple of years, however he makes his way up to 160. I don't know if Canelo will want to fight at that weight at that point. Well, in time. Who the hell knows? Let's dream. Yes, I love it.
All right, I love me that, because I like big guys like Kell Brook.
You're not fighting the 5'7" Sean Porter.
What? I like big guys.
Of course, you know, Beterbiev is interesting. I don't even know if I'd advise
Great
Canelo.
Fight. It's not much of a pay-per-view.
Yeah,
event.
I don't even know if I'd advise him to go in that direction.
Because I want to see somebody.
I was talking
give
on
this
the,
man his comeuppance.
I was talking with somebody on the phone on the ESPN side of the street, and I threw out there, you know, Bud don't have a long line of people lining up. We hope we see Bud against maybe Kell Brook, whatever, you know, against the Tartan Tornado, against your guy JCR, you know, somebody coming up from 40. But what about Bud in this conversation? The person I was talking to who can't be named thought, you know, maybe Bud's realistic ceiling is 54 for like a super, super fight. Do you think Bud at 60 could compete with Canelo?
I think that, look, I agree that that middleweight is just way too far up there for Terrence Crawford in general. But I also think that Terrence Crawford is a great, great fighter. First things first, you know, while we're spinning way ahead in the future with Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford, we all want to see them fight each other first. Now, if Crawford beats Spence, which I think is very possible, if Crawford could beat Spence, and then he wants to try, you know, a dare to be great Mikey Garcia type jump, a Sugar Ray Leonard type jump going up to face Marvin Hagler, that type of thing.
Yes. Yes.
Why the hell not?
It
now,
is
it going to be risky? Are a lot of people going to say you're signing your death warrant? It's just too big. Yeah. But he's also a great fighter who might be able to find a way to pull out a win in even at that level.
Okay. Tell your family to write their will out.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, it goes without saying both Charlos, Big Charlo preferred, right? It goes without saying at 60 if you can do it, even at 68 if Big Charlo had to move up. I think Caleb Plant. Look, Caleb Plant is a commodity for PBC long-term in the pay-per-view game. Tell me he's not.
He is. I think that if you look at some of the younger fighters, you might be hitting on the real big opponents down the line if they continue to develop. We're talking David Benavidez if he, you know, assuming he stays on the straight and narrow.
If he can get his titties under 175.
Yeah, if you get a few less tattoos on titties. And Edgar Berlanga. I mean, obviously there's so much to to learn about Edgar Berlanga, but he looks very, very, very impressive. And he needs rounds. There, his next fight, right? He's fighting Lionel Bellows next, guy who's never been stopped. So hopefully he will get some rounds. He's not near the level. He hasn't fought at that. But that's someone you look at and say, ooh, 3 years from now, that is something I might want to see.
Yeah, and I'm still in on BJ Saunders. If Billy Joe Saunders is going to have a belt and be unbeaten, that's still the spoiler-type style. Think Lada. Think prime Austin Trout.
Austin Trout, who seems to find a way to lose all of his big fights. Have you noticed that?
God damn, Richard Dwyer. God, why? Cool. Wow. What? He's no longer invited into the bath staff tub ever again. What the hell? Why are you going to send Austin Trout to hell like that?
I don't
he
understand.
Fought bravely in many of those fights.
Many
really
times.
Pushed Jamal Charlo down the stretch of that fight. Almost made it a draw on my card. I know in the Campbell household, he beat Canelo Alvarez back in 2013.
It did exist. Thank you. It did exist. Seriously, go back and if you're willing to. Here's the deal. If you're willing to score the jab of. I know Gennady's jab is heavy. But if you're willing to score the jab of Gennady against Canelo on the level that I was in those two fights, then why wouldn't you be willing to score the jab of Austin Trout, who I thought won at least the first four rounds against Canelo cleanly by jabbing to the body? And, you know, and then after getting up off the canvas, I thought he stayed in that fight and edged it out. Okay, take that. All right. Rafe, I can't linger here much longer. Do you have any other predictions on how this Canelo thing ends? Where do we go? What happens next? What are we doing here? Because if you're Canelo, you're not going to commit to sitting out for 2 years. It's not reasonable. I don't think Golden Boy can last.
I don't know, man. I think that's exactly what you have to commit to. Let's look back at the Andre Ward case. He was trying to get out of a deal with his promoter. He fought Edwin Rodriguez in the middle of that somehow. He took the one fight, and in between that, he didn't fight for like 3 years, right?
Yeah.
That's unfortunately, look.
But Ward wasn't financially motivated on that level, and he certainly wasn't a draw on that level. Dude, I don't care how much money Canelo has, which I assume is a lot. If you can make 35
every process takes a long time, Brian. But there's nothing you can't speed that up. The wheels of justice don't turn that fast. And they don't move much faster for athletes just because they're great at their sport or really popular or have millions and millions of dollars. It's still gonna take a long time. Litigation takes forever. If they're gonna get bogged down in this, it could take 2 years or at least another year. Now, in some ways, you could say this is decent timing because ain't nothing happening this year anyway. And let's pray for a COVID vaccine as soon as possible, so that we can start getting crowds back and the economics of boxing make a little bit more sense. But even so, he's going to lose time on his career, and that's a shame. He's turning 30. He's right in his prime. He's really coming into his own as a fighter who deserves the accolades of being considered a top pound for pound fighter, whether you have him number one or number three or wherever in that list. And last year he took really good fights and won them convincingly. And just it sucks, man. And it sucks for fighters who are coming up underneath him. It sucks for Lil Ryan Garcia, who has to deal with, you know, whatever. I mean, whatever. He makes enough of his own trouble with his social media bitch assness. But still,
and the use of his impregnable ability.
His defense is impregnable.
So is his offense.
It's just ferocious.
Yeah, his offense is very pregnable.
DMs is ferocious.
Yes. My final bit of wonder on this is, again, like, I don't think either DAZN or Golden Boy can last too long without him. So if you're DAZN, your response to this, it's probably two ways. It's probably, all right, this is as good a time as any to get out of boxing, or it's, how do we fix this and get Canelo back in and get this lawsuit off the stacks? Do we just be like, hey, we were just fooling around. Here's not only $35 million to come back against Saunders, but here's another $35 million on top of it because we called the oligarch and we don't want to go down this road.
Look, this is a pie in the sky hope on my part, and I imagine that Homer and our other more educated listeners will hit me up in the DMs, maybe both of us, and tell me that I'm an idiot for suggesting it. But the way I could see to get out of this sooner would be, yeah, DAZN is trying to get out of this. They're trying to get out of boxing and they want it to go away. And maybe they are more motivated to settle with Canelo and pay him some of the money that he could. You know, I doubt they're going to cut him a check for $280 million, but settle ahead of time and give some of that money. And if Golden Boy gets enough of that money to let Canelo go, then boom, we're back in it. Like if DAZN, if they can cut like a three-way deal, DAZN will break off Golden Boy, make them feel like they can survive long enough to rebuild without Canelo, right? Build around Virgil Ortiz, who's going to be one of the next pay-per-view stars of boxing. I don't care what anybody says.
Whoa.
Hell yes. Why not? From Texas, Mexican-American, great kid, fun as hell to watch, and he's already better than top 10 welterweights.
Okay.
In any case, and he's what, 22? Virgil Ortiz, buy all the stock. If you got any money, go on Robinhood and buy virgilortiz.com.
The Rafe Boogs liquid crack guarantee. All right, we got to get off of this.
Brian, wait. We had to, from the lawsuit, we didn't even touch on some of the most important aspects here. Turns out that Canelo's legal first name is Santos.
Are you serious?
Yeah, right on page one, brother.
I didn't read page
Plaintiffs.
One.
Santos Saul Alvarez.
Is that like his mom?
Oh, well, look, Santos Saul Alvarez Barragan.
But look, like I'm going to say this as white man layman as possible. Other cultures tend to have extra names that they don't consider their real name, but it's part of their name.
That's not uncommon at all. But it still is something that we didn't know. We're like, oh damn! That's Canelo's full name.
Well, my question is that like his mom's maiden name or something? I mean, Gennady's middle name is Gennadievich because that's his dad's name, first name Gennady. I don't get other people. I'm sorry.
And Canelo has a holding company that I guess that he gets some of his monies paid into, based in Nevada, called S.A. Holiday, Inc.
Oh, wow. Celebrate Holiday.
Alvarez Holiday. I wonder if he invites women to come have a holiday.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he's done it many, many times. Many times. Yes. Rafe, did you also see where it was mentioned that DAZN offered or was talking about doing a fight on a skyscraper?
I saw that as well.
That's pretty damn badass.
Hey, why not? That sounds more like an Eddie Hearn idea.
Fight Callum Smith on a skyscraper. Yeah, right.
What did they say? What building it would have been?
Maybe it's that DAZN building in Lower Manhattan. I don't know.
Are they in the Freedom Tower? I think they are.
Nothing says freedom like a Mexican icon atop the Freedom Tower in New York City, okay?
I mean, I kind of dig the symbolism of that, yes. Genuinely, especially during our current political climate. I think that would be cool, even cooler than that epic commercial of Chavez Jr. and Canelo running through walls for their pay-per-view back in the day.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
All right, let's roll on here, Rafe, unless Canelo has any other names. All right. Oh, but you know, one other weird thing was apparently Canelo tried to get Golden Boy this summer to get a new broadcasting home for him, as if that's contractually possible.
I saw that as one of the wrongs that Golden Boy has supposedly committed against Canelo, and that they've failed to do that is somehow a failure of their responsibility to him. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, they had an exclusive deal with one provider who turned out to be a pretty bad business partner in this current climate, and that leaves them with a lot of bad options. And I don't know. I guess Canelo believes and alleges that they should have done more to make that happen with a different network, but then they're getting sued immediately by DAZN, and that fight probably can't happen. You know, it's like, and then whoever you took it, ESPN, Disney, Fox, PBC, they're getting sued by DAZN too. Yeah, DAZN's just trying to get in everybody's pockets. I understand why that didn't happen.
All right, let's go on here. Let's go with last Saturday, Top Rank, Bubble. Jermell Herring defended his WBO 130 title in what was supposed to be a nice, comfy setup fight before Carl Frampton against 37-year-old Jonathan Oquendo, a guy we'd seen, good-looking Puerto Rican guy we'd seen against everybody, and typically loses when he steps up, but this was his last chance. So, Rafe, he came out and did, I'm sorry, what a lot of fighters have done when they are the less skilled of the two. He better effing get inside on him, and he did, and he was, yeah, a little bit reckless, a little bit dirty, but I have so many disrespectful things to say about what happened next. Everyone from the ref to the commission to the judges to Jermell Herring to the reaction of Jermell Herring to the reaction of the reaction of Jermell Herring's reaction. When did boxing get so freaking soft, Rafe?
Wow. Wow. Throwing soft around here.
I'm serious.
I don't know.
If I've got to see another tweet that says Tim Bradley and Andre Ward need to apologize to get the frick out of here.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I don't agree that it was that big of a deal that he look. He did look for a way to get out of that.
Did
fight.
He quit? Yes or no? No caveats. Did he quit? Yes or no?
I don't think that
the answer's quitting, yes. Say it. Just freaking say it. Okay.
Okay. Fine. Sure. He wanted out of that fight because he knew he was winning and he knew he was going to win if he got out of it.
So my
it was
problem
the, to me
with
it's
Herring?
The same as Mikey against Salido back in the day.
Yes.
It's the same.
But here's
thing.
My problem.
You have the fight in the bag and you realize that the chances are pretty good if you say that you can't go on anymore. It either goes to the cards or in this case the weird automatic DQ thing that Tony Weeks ended up ruling, which I've heard different sides say was the correct or was the incorrect. I don't really care if it was correct because Herring won that fight, was winning that fight. Is it a little annoying because boxing, you know, championship fights are 12-round events. And if you are – and the reason that they are 12-round events and they don't just – one of the takes that did strike me as really dumb was that in these championship fights – oh, Jermell Herring won that fight already. He didn't. What was he going to prove by sticking around the next four rounds? Well, that's not how the sport works. If any of you want to go back and watch Mike Jones fight Randall Bailey and shut him out for 9 rounds, get knocked down in the 10th, and then get sent to the deepest, darkest nether regions of hell, never to which return from.
Yes, just like Officer Molina.
That's why
Molina.
You have to fight if you're a champion in a 12-round fight defending your belt. That's why you're expected to do that. Yes. But at the same time, fighters, if they read the situation correctly, knew they were going to get out of it with a win. I don't blame him for doing that.
I want to talk here. I want to say some things, okay?
Hell no!
Yes, Herring did quit. I'm sorry, it is. It doesn't mean I'm damning him. It doesn't mean I'm talking bad about this Marine who's got two special needs kids and he fought COVID twice in a row. You can have a tough night at the office. You also, in my eyes, don't have to be willing to die every second of the day. I actually have a little bit more problem with one of the greatest referees of all time, Tony Weeks. Rafe, I don't think he really warned Oquendo a lot. And so for him to make the call that it was intentional – no, Rafe, here's the deal. Your boy VO, that was intentional. When he speared Floyd in the face with his head.
That was
I'm
was
looking
like
for
Bobby
a way
Boucher
out.
Style
yes.
Headbutting. He
that was
like,
No, they didn't. But you can imagine what it'd be like if they did, right?
Well, huh? You know, it did exist. That was not intentional what Oquendo did. And I, you know, even people like Dan Rafel, who again I respect, was going on and on about Twitter, about how so many headbutts and it was intentional. Here's the deal. That's part of the game. That's a game within the game. You know, I said this on Morning Combat. Rafe, you play pickup hoops, things get chippy. There are things you can do within the game, whether there's a referee there or not, to sort of stem the tide against the chippiness and stand up for yourself. So everything Andre Ward says that's supposedly too harsh, it's not at all. Do you know what made Andre Ward great? if you fought him dirty like Saki Obika tried, he'd dig in and get dirtier than you, right? It, what him and Bradley were saying about what Herring wasn't doing to try to stop Oquendo from walking him down and getting inside, that was spot on. I have a problem with Weeks. Once he branded this as intentional, he gave Herring the opportunity to do exactly what he did. Say I'm done. Conveniently, when Oquendo was coming on, this ain't, you know, Margarito against Cotto 2 in the back of Jimmy's corner argument. I'm sorry, Oquendo was coming on. He was finally actually landing punches in round 7 and 8 and was coming on, and Herring was uncomfortable. I'm not here to tell you Herring's eye wasn't shut enough for him to say,
well, also,
I quit.
Brian, let me just add a little bit of context here, but we probably should have mentioned off the top, because it is true that, you know, Herring went to the hospital after the fight. They found that he had scratches around his retina. He had a real eye injury that probably was.
Wasn't it some of it pre-existing?
There was also, I read, a pre-existing fracture, somewhere around the orbital, that if he had continued getting headbutted, if it got worse, it could have presented a greater risk to his eyesight or general health
again,
of his eyeball.
I'm no tough
and it hurts
guy.
To get punched in the eyeball.
Do you know how hard you have to hurt to break a man's face? I'm not some blood and guts warrior here myself. I'm not saying he didn't have the right to do that. I'm saying Tony Weeks, I thought, gave him an opportunity that didn't deserve to be there. Was Oquendo being reckless and trying to muck it up? Yes. But Rafe, every freaking Holyfield or Tim Bradley fight has had that. Every time you get these slower guys who don't have the same skill level, that's how they fight. That's the only way you're going to do that against a boxer. It's up to two people. The boxer to make it stop, either through hitting him or through standing up to him. And two, the referee to establish a warning system that takes away points and then eventually disqualifies. I would have had
right away, stop leading with your head.
I would have had more respect if Tony Weeks landed out a series of warnings that ended in a disqualification than him branding that headbutt what he did, which was, you know, intentional. I don't think it was intentional. Was there intention? Yes, it wasn't intentional, though. The one that caused the headbutt?
No, by the way...
Vasir, what's his name? What's the guy's name?
Oquendo.
Oquendo landed punches on the headbutt, right? Yeah, the heads clashed, but he landed punches. My point is, he was blurring the line, looking for Tony Weeks to establish that line. Tony never did.
This is a great point, Brian. There is a difference between an intentional foul headbutt and leading with your head, which is not, you're not supposed to do. It's the ref's job to warn that. It's the same as if your punches are like a guy who works the body a lot and whose punches stray low and is right hitting the borderline too much and needs to be warned to be kept in line, versus a guy who is Danny Garcia-ing someone's nuts when he's losing a fight, or Abner Morris-ing someone's nuts when he's losing a fight.
Leave Danny out of this, please. Leave Danny out of this. It's Danny's night. So look, I get a few things. I get that people have so much respect, rightfully so, for Herring that they don't even want to hear talk of this. But you got to get past that, okay? Boxing.
Come on. Yeah. We're evaluating the sport here. Jamel Herring is an A triple plus human being, a better, stronger man, human person, fuck man, woman, whatever. He is better and stronger and has been through so much and is so admirable and deserves all of the praise for what a person he is. That has nothing to do with an individual fight or what kind of overall fighter he is.
And number two, like, I feel bad that Herring ultimately had this ending, went to the hospital, and then decided to check his mentions and decided to let this get to him to the point where he was, like, openly contemplating retirement on Twitter. And then he's
tweeting pictures of text from his wife.
I know, like that was too much. Like that, so that's on him, number one.
No, and it's then, too much. It sounds horrible.
And number two, or number three, wherever we are, I don't understand all of these people, journalists on Twitter, again, people I respect, going, you know, coming at Ward and Bradley. Number one, if anyone's allowed to say that stuff, it's them. I could get if you would say, oh, what's Kriegel know or what's Campbell know? These guys don't fight. You know, I get that. I don't believe in that, but I get it. Ward and Bradley, good God, here's Bradley, a guy who is blood and guts. Ward, a guy who always defended against blood and guts fighters so perfectly. If anyone can sit there and be harsh and constructively say, I'm sorry, Herring doesn't look like he believes in himself as a champion. I don't like his chances against Frampton if he's going to fight this way. What do we want? Do we want announcers that are in people's pocket? Everyone seems to complain that there's no Larry Merchants anymore. Nobody speaks up. Everyone toes the company line. Ward and Bradley, were they critical? Yeah. They weren't overly anything. They expected more out of Herring. We all did. It was a setup fight. He didn't look great. So I don't know how people are saying Bradley and Ward needed to tailor their analysis and not be hard. Like, get out of here.
And here's the thing, Brian. Jamel Herring is not, you know, he's been through everything he's been through. He is such an admirable and also just genuinely good, nice guy. He calls in to podcasts on his own. Like, I've heard him call on the podcast, call into the podcast that Brandon Stubbs and Adam Abramowitz do on his own just to talk boxing with them. Like, he's not a guest. He just calls up Abramowitz. It's like, yo, let's chop it up, bro. So and he's like that with all media, anyone who gets a chance to interact with him. And that buys him all of this goodwill, and it makes it challenging in a situation like this because you don't want to ever say anything bad about him. You don't want to criticize him. You want to root for him, but it's not our job to do that. It's our job to act like realistically or honestly, at least. You know, we don't have to be right all the time, but at least give an honest, assessment of what we are seeing in a fight, of what we think will happen in a fight, and present it not without all of that emotion and spin and whatever else contributes to it. The fact is, Brian, look, Jamel Herring's a quadruple plus man. He is a B fighter. He won this championship. It was vacant. He beat Masayuki Ito, who won it vacant or something like that, over Christopher Diaz, who never did anything after except lose to Shakur Stevenson in a shutout. This is like a made up WBO belt. It's weak, and that's fine. I'm happy he got it. I'm glad that he's getting this push. He deserves it. He's a very, the U.S. Olympic captain. I mean, that's fine. But when it comes down to it, when he has to fight somebody really, really good, who is young, he's gonna get beat. You know, we saw Denis Shafikov, Dengis, get in that ass and basically beat the fight out of him. We've seen, it happened.
It did, in fact.
The Russian, I think, is more to my liking.
It was more to my liking in that fight. My final issue with this, and this will transition into my issue with the Ugas fight, which I'll mention in a second, is I didn't really understand the card. So here's the deal. Andre Ward, he was super critical of Herring. So he had it 4-4 at the end, but Herring winning because of the point from the knockdown and the point from the headbutt. And by the way, it was a beautiful knockdown, an uppercut. He should have done more of that. 4 rounds is generous for Okendo. But at the same time, anybody to watch that fight and act like Okendo, I thought he won round one. I thought he won 7-8. Even 3, if you think, is generous. I don't get how the judges can have it 8-0 Herring, 8-0 Herring, and 7-1 Herring. Again, he didn't look that great. All right? Like even if you didn't think Okendo was landing completely clean, he was making Herring fight the fight he didn't want to. I don't understand how we give up on things like ring generalship. We give up on things like defense. In the skinhead sport, you don't score defense. It's all damage. In boxing, there's a 5-point system on scoring, supposedly. We just give up often. We either overly favor the heavier guy, punching guy, or we just give up on the idea that a guy, if I Delphine Pursuing your ass, Rafe, you better give me the respect on the cards. Did you, watching that fight, did you think, I mean, okay.
Better give me the respect that I deserve or I'm going to take it by force.
Exactly. So I didn't like that. And let's transition into that awful Sunday night PBC on Fox main event. Ugas wins what I hate, which is WBA offering another bastardized welterweight. There's already 2 WBA welterweight champions, maybe 4. Thank you, Errol Spence, for tweeting out how hypocritical this is. But Ugas,
did he say that?
He in his own way, he's like, I don't understand. Isn't Manny the WBA champ and somebody else is the WBA regular champ? Why do we need a WBA interim champ?
Regis Progerius just beat Adago.
Yeah, look, here's the deal. Like, show me somebody better looking than Chris Algieri, please, right? at the end of the day?
I can't. Thank you. I cannot do that.
All right. I don't know if you watched the fight. Ugas faced Abel Ramos, who, by the way, turns out is the uncle of that guy, Jesus Ramos, from the Double Orgasm. Jesus was on the undercard and in his corner. Look, Abel had two moments in this fight. Two times he rocked Ugas, kind of caught him off balance, and wobbled him a bit. You want to give him those two rounds? Fine. You want to give him one more round? Okay. Ugas outclassed a C fighter he was supposed to in a bad PBC on Fox main event. He outclassed him so badly, Rafe, that he stood right in front of him and wasn't afraid of the power and just kept countering cleanly. I know we hate CompuBox stats when people use it to explain something, but he landed twice as many punches at a better percentage. More jabs at a better percentage. More power shots at a better percentage. Please, because this is why I'm upset. Justify the scorecards here. Two judges, 7-5 for Ugas. The third judge, your boy Dr. Lou Moret, who's 70-something, had it 117-111 for Abel Ramos. Like, you know, it could be a robbery, but it's still an effective robbery. It's still a robbery, Rafe. What
give
is,
me a moment
this is,
here.
This
give
ain't
me
even the this ain't even the money fighter. If Ugas performed bad and they
I don't know if Ugas
him,
is a money fighter either, Chief.
That's a fair point. But, Rafe, like, you know, I don't even know if the other two judges were female or not, but I'm still going to hit you with this.
That woman judge who had it even, please, that's why I'm on fire.
That's why I'm upset. This is just bad. We have enough judging situations in which the house fighter, the young prospect, gets the win when they don't deserve it. It's almost expected in boxing. It's that BS. We don't need these extra BS moments. Please, did you see any of that fight? Explain to me how this is possible.
Look, Brian, I watched the fight, and you bring up CompuBox, which that is helpful context. The thing is, in this case, you didn't need stats to tell you that Yordanis Ugas won that fight, that he controlled almost all of it except for the couple of times he got rocked, that he dealt with an aggressive, hardworking, lunch pail-ass guy who went in there, tried, you know, but he outclassed him like he was expected to. He's much bigger. It just – I don't understand it either. I guess for me, Brian, and I'm sorry if I disappoint you, I cannot marshal up the umbrage over this – particular injustice because it's one of those, well, I know it's a terrible cliche and there are times where when it pisses me off, but for whatever reason with this one, I feel like, look, the right guy won. Nobody really cared in the first place. Probably nobody or not that many people watched it. Just move on. Who cares? It's done.
Okay,
let it.
Well, you know who did watch it?
Overall, it's fine.
I was really mad because I was exhausted. It was Sunday night. I had drinking some things at a backyard cookout, and I was falling asleep. But I'm like, no, I'm going to watch this. And the fight wasn't good. It's the same story. Ugas is really good. I thought he beat Porter. He's of that ilk. I want to see him eventually get into a fight again with one of those. And you know what's going to happen, Rafe? He's going to get Lara'd. He's going to look good, not throw enough punches, and lose a decision that you could argue he's going to win. We already know his end game, but I still watched it, and at the end was like, oh, man, this fight's dunk. And then this happens. So somebody else was watching that fight, and it's somebody I respect.
Marcos Viejas has done a spectacular job.
The journalist.
Rob
the journalist.
Holmes.
The journalist. His scoring's great. He had a 12-0. Ugas, I had a 9-3. He had a 12-0.
Marcos, put him on every broadcast. He is the scorer.
12-0.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think there's that crazy either. I mean, you know, I kind of agree that in the rounds where it looked like a guy was hurt and the other guy just did some nice boxing, you could give the I feel like Ramos deserved those, but. I could see someone saying, look, Ugas still controlled the 2 minutes out of every round or 2 minutes out of the rounds, even when he was hurt. Just he was a little bit rocked a couple of times. In any case, look, Ugas won. He deserved to win. The cards are ridiculous. I don't know who I'm not even used to seeing Zachary Young and Edward Hernandez Sr., the other two judges. But at least they got the score closer to right.
Stop
so
that
I say,
crap.
Thank you, men.
Stop that.
Boy, it's frustrating. It really is frustrating.
Okay. All right. Quickly here. On Tuesday, Top Rank unveiled their October schedule. It wasn't a, you know, Showtime upfront or anything crazy. But it's a good batch of fights. I want your reaction to each one. Are you ready, Rafe?
I'm so ready.
October 3rd, Saturday night on the Plus, Jose Zepeda against Ivan Baranchik. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, indeed. That one was awesome the first time. I hope it's awesome this time. I mean, the first time it was scheduled. You know what I mean. You know what I mean, damn it.
Friday, October 9th on regular ESPN, Emmanuel Navarrete moves up to 126 and fights Ruben Vija, who's unbeaten 18-0 but only has 5 KOs, for the vacant WBO feather title.
Hey, that's a very we haven't seen Navarrete in a meaningful fight since the two Isaac Dogbe fights. He's been feasting on nothing, on less than nothing for a long time, and it's good to see him in what should be an interesting fight. He'll be tested. Vija is he's from Salinas, California, I think. Central Valley kid, tough. Was a really good amateur, very slick boxer. Obviously does not have much power. I think that it'll be fun to see this fight. It'll be fun to see the contrast in styles. And if Vija can outbox a championship-level opponent for 12 rounds, because that would be it's a huge step up of class for him. And Navarrete is big and tall and does his thing, those big wide punches that never stop. It's a cool fight.
Saturday, October 17th. And again, shout out, this is on regular ESPN. This is great for boxing, because I do think this is your best fight of the year on paper. It's going to be Lomachenko. It's going to be Lopez. They made the deal. Lomachenko reportedly taking less money. ESPN kicking in some to make sure this is not a pay-per-view. But do you have an issue with Top Rank's PR report, the press email, probably from your guy Korn, calling Loma the boxing Baryshnikov?
I feel like I've seen that before. Who cares? Whatever. Okay, it's PR.
What is it going to take for you to follow Evan Korn on Twitter?
If I get a job in boxing again.
Okay, thank you. All right. Friday, October 23rd, Artur Beterbiev defends his two light heavy titles against Adam Dines. It's going to be in Moscow on regular ESPN. 2 p.m. Eastern, Rafe.
Hey, I like that. That makes it easy. Yeah. Other than that, watching that fight, it's going to be a challenge, Brian. No, it won't, because it's fun to watch. I mean, Beterbiev, he does not play with his food. He is going to take that German and send him to Russian hell. He's going to punch him all the way to Siberia, and where Ruslan Provodnikov will eat his liver raw.
I'm gonna kick his ass. Remember, champ, I'm gonna kick your ass.
And then it's Naoya
that
Inoue.
Guy was Polish.
Saturday on the Halloween Saturday night on the Plus, it's Inoue, it's Jason Maloney. Very fired up for that. Yes. All right.
Yeah, Brian, you're fired to see Inoue fight the guy that Emmanuel Rodriguez beat in the WBSS before he got sent to hell in two rounds by Inoue?
Thank you. Yes. Rafe, you know that a couple weeks from now, September 26th, going to be a busy night. Charlo on Charlo. Skinheads are giving us Israel Adesanya against Paulo Costa, two unbeatens. By the way, this is one of the better fights on paper, like in a long time for that middleweight title. It's going to bang. But did you hear what else is that day? Okay.
The talking.
No talking.
A Scotsman?
No, Rafe.
Against some Thailand
guy? No.
What?
I'm talking about the finals of the WBSS Cruiserweight Tournament live from Munich, Germany. According to Callie Sutherland, it's Yunel Dortikos versus Maurice Brydus. September 26th, brother.
That's huge, Brian. I thought that was supposed to be later in the year. That's fantastic news.
I don't know what TV.
I'm mailing in my apology to you and Luke Thomas and the Charlo brothers.
DAZN.
Because
DAZN's got that. DAZN's back, dude. I got that DAZN-ish.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. I love it. I wanted to see that fight so bad. I'm glad it's still happening. The KO doctor, Briatis, that's such a dope fight. It'll be so much fun.
They haven't fought, right?
They have not fought yet.
Okay. This is great. So it's going to be a Cali party. Shout out to Cali for making that happen. All right, Rafe. I don't think I had anything else but a quick look at this weekend, which you're not going to care about because this weekend blows, Rafe. You ready for this?
Yeah, I can't wait.
I'm now working off of Dan Rayfield's Facebook schedule, which we should be. So at Dan
Thank
Rayfield,
you, man. Thank you. You got the score
Dan
right.
Dan Rayfield Boxing. Here we go. Friday night from Russia, Rafe. It's untelevised in our area. Fedor Chudinev versus Umar Sadiq, 12-round super middleweights. Do you care about that at all?
I always mix up the Chudinov fighters, but I like one of them, the one who fought George Groves and then almost won but then got knocked out. But right. No, I don't care.
Well, here's what's going to be interesting in the co-main event. 6 rounds heavyweights. Are you prepared for this?
I don't know. Is it more Kevin Johnson? Is the Kingpin back?
MMA heavyweight, recently UFC guy, recently Bellator guy, Sergey Karatanov will make his pro boxing debut against the dried husk of 47-year-old Mike Tyson conqueror Danny Williams, brother.
Oof, oof.
I don't know if you've been following Danny Williams' career after the Tyson fight. Have you?
I think I know, but I did listen to him on Boxing Life Stories with Tris Dixon.
Tris Dixon, a well-built man, right?
Oh my God! Just like he calls himself, a big lump. He is one.
He's a nice
guy. Also,
really
good ass dude. Yeah. Good ass, right? He's up there. He's like one of the triple threat people in world boxing media.
I mean, are those triple?
He can write. He can edit. He's smart. He does audio well. He does video well. He cares about the right stuff.
I recommend
some Tris Dixon.
All right. Well, Danny Williams is 54-28, Rafe, and he fought like 4 times last year. Yikes! And you know what? His record's not as gross as you think. He knocked out unbeaten Boban Filipovic in 2019, who was 24-0. Did you know that?
That's news to me.
He fights a lot of guys that are either 5-0. He beat a guy in November who was 0-8. He fights a lot of guys who are 6-36. He fought some pro debut guys. Oh God, this is gross. I guess this is what happens, Rafe. Right? This is what happens.
These are the breaks.
Yeah. Okay. F that. Let's get out of here. Also, this weekend, Saturday night on the Plus, ESPN, Las Vegas, the Mean Machine, Edgardas Kavaliauskas. I've got a Lithuanian, is going to take on my guy. People forget about this guy, Michael Zuski, the Canadian welterweight. 10 rounds welterweight. Zuski's got a glossy record. Good-looking kid, can bang a little bit. Probably going to lose here. You like this?
Grab a brewski and enjoy the Zuski. My real interest in that is trying to get a better gauge on the Mean Machine, because yes, he's a guy we didn't see much of. We saw him draw with Ray Robinson, then we saw him in that fun ass fight get the knockdown that he wasn't credited for against Terrence Crawford before Crawford came back and beat the living shit out of him. And but he looked good. He looked like a real fighter, and I want to see more of him. I want to see if he is if he is a contender, just not a Crawford level fighter.
Decent main of co-main. Decent.
Yeah, I like that 10
rounds featherweights. Miguel Mariaga against Joette Gonzalez. And if you don't remember Joette, Shakur basically was like, I be Joette and I hit his sister, right?
And if I recall correctly, that was the fight in which Kriegel in the ring said, Shakur, you've been in the ring with this man for 12 rounds. You know what's in his soul. And then just ask normal questions after that. Look, this is an awesome fight, I think. Lots of fun. I think it will have a lot of action. Joette, I think it's evenly matched and a really good test for Joette to see if he can bounce back from, nothing wrong with losing to Shakur Stevenson, who's a elite talent and already an elite fighter, pretty much. Mariaga's a hell of a measuring stick. He has only lost to guys like, Axeman, Nicholas Walters, Vasily Lomachenko, and Oscar Valdez.
Indeed. Also on Saturday, it's going to be from London. Anthony Yard versus Deck Spellman, 10 rounds light heavyweights. We haven't seen Yard since he gassed out Kovalev, right?
Yeah, it is true, and I'm looking forward to seeing him back.
All right. Somebody told my coworker Brent Brookhouse said this co-main event, 10 rounds middleweights, is going to be good. Mark Heffron versus Denzel Bentley. I haven't heard of these guys. I don't know.
An absolute humdinger, Brian.
You can have
hard men.
You can have my hardcore card back. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you, Rafe. That's the show. Thank you for jumping on so quickly to get to this Canelo news with me. Thank you for making me a part of your life.
This We had to do it, Brian. We had to do it. This is what boxing is about in 2020.
It did exist, yes.
And I'm glad we jumped on this news. We jumped on it.
We jumped on it. Thank you. All right. For Rafe Bugs, it's your boy, BC. The skinheads are coming for us all. Get ready. A couple weeks away from the big launch of the Morning Combat every day in your everything, in your eye holes, too, on YouTube, whatever. That's it. Charlo pay-per-view right around the corner. Yeah, all right. Go Canelo. Go. Go.
We out. We out.
We out. The kind of a slow exit.
You're slow. You're slow, you're easy. I'm going yeah, slow, bro. You're slow. S-L-A-O.
Yes. Okay, we're still out. Thank you.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount+ with Showtime plan.